Hey, it's John Engle, and I'm excited to share that registration is now live for Grid Tech Connect Forum California. Join us in Newport Beach, June 24th through the 26th for the Interconnection event. We're bringing together utilities, developers, regulators, and advocates to take on one of the biggest challenges facing the energy transition, both at the DG and utility scale levels. Click the link in the episode description and use promo code PODCAST to save 10% on admission. Join our partners from the Department of Energy, NREL, Southern California Edison, PG&E, CAISO, Sunrun, NG, Convergent, AES, and so many more for this impactful event. We'll see you there. Hello and welcome to another episode of This Week in Clean Tech, a roundup of the week's biggest stories you need to know in climate and clean energy in 15 minutes or less. Today is Friday, April 26th, 2024. I'm Renewable Energy World Editor-in-Chief John Engle. Alexa St. John from AP News will be joining us shortly. But for now, I'm joined once again by Clean Tech PR veteran Mike Casey of TigerCom. Mike, it's been a couple of weeks and people missed us. I actually got an email. Where's This Week in Clean Tech?
Well, John, and you went on vacation, did you not?
I did. Yep.
All right.
I was in Belize for a week.
Yeah. And I got three viewer emails complaining about the Instagram photos. You're posting yourself in a Speedo. Please do not do that. Right. We have an image to maintain on the show. Let's try to speak. Just be a little image conscious, would you please?
I will try my best. I didn't do that, for the record. I do not post on Instagram. But anyway, we appreciate all of you for sticking around. And it's been a while since I've published a fact of this episode, too. So know that another one is coming soon. Just busy and also trying to relax. Send your story recommendations and nominations for Clean Tech of the Week to rew@clarionevents.com. We'll have that link in the episode description as well. All right, Mike, kick us off.
It ain't Belize, but it's NPR. We have Rebecca Hersher's story, Why Europe is the Fastest Warming Continent on Earth. Now, this sounds like a climate story, but there is one key line in here that makes it an important climate tech story. All right, John.
Yeah, Europe's heat-related deaths have increased at least 30% in the last 20 years, more than any other continent, and twice as fast as the global average. It's already 4 degrees Fahrenheit warmer than it was in 1880, largely due to close proximity to the Arctic, which is more acutely affected by climate change. Europe also experiences warmer ocean and atmosphere currents, which is why London has milder winters than Chicago. Mike, your takeaway.
Okay, so Europe's already dealing with some deadly effects of global climate disruptions. Last July, a heat wave with temperatures well over 100 degrees persisted across much of southern Europe. It's estimated that tens of thousands of people died. Now, what makes this not just a climate story, but a climate tech story is this key line in Rebecca's piece. 2023 was Europe's second consecutive year making more of its electricity from renewables than burning fossil fuels. That doesn't solve the problem, but boy, that is a significant milestone on a continent with 510 million people on it. John, story number two.
Yeah, the next two, we got a couple of trade stories here. This one from CNBC. Biden wants to triple China tariffs on steel, aluminum imports. Mike.
Yeah, President Biden recognizes that heavy Chinese government subsidies for steel and aluminum have stifled competition across the globe. There's a 7.5 average tariff right now on these products. And Biden wants to triple that number to protect American workers and lead to fairer competition. We noted a few weeks ago that Secretary Janet Yellen, she made a trip to China recently, and she expressed concern over the impact of these subsidies, noting that they're leading to an oversupply of clean energy products that could surpass domestic demand. Chinese have a very different view. They claim that the low prices are the result of constant innovations, their words, in clean energy products, not government subsidies. John, what do you think?
Yeah, it's a tricky one for Biden. And I think the dynamic here is we all know that tariffs alone will not create a domestic market. So you need more than that. The White House has been working to bring down inflation, but these proposed tariffs would likely result in higher prices for American consumers. On one hand, Biden wants to cut costs, boost clean energy deployment, and repair relations with China after tensions caused by Trump's tariffs.
On the other hand, Biden wants to position himself as tough on China and working to protect American jobs in order to win over votes for working class voters, while competing against Trump. Biden also opposes a plan to sell U.S. steel to a Japanese manufacturer to support American workers and keep it American owned. Mike, what's our next one?
So another China story. Alexander Kaufman, who we want to get on the show. So if some of our viewers and listeners can lobby him to give us a yes, we do a lot of his stories here. U.S. solar factories say Biden isn't doing enough to protect them from China. John, I think this is a big deal, man.
Yeah, another chapter. So despite domestic subsidies from the IRA and trade restrictions on Chinese solar panels we just discussed, American manufacturers claim they are still unable to compete with heavily subsidized Chinese modules. Korean panel giant Qcells, which invested $2.5 billion to build America's largest panel factory in what they call the full cycle of solar development, along with several other U.S. solar companies, filed a petition on Wednesday asking the government to investigate Chinese panel producers for breaking trade laws by subsidizing exports and skirting trade laws by rerouting panels through countries in Southeast Asia. ADCVD. That's the technical case. Mike, break it down a little further.
All right. So everybody remembers the Auxin trade case in October of 23, made a lot of waves in the clean energy industry.
It's why this podcast exists, Mike.
And the waves haven't fully died back yet. So the criticism, you know, you always heard at the water cooler, so to speak, at trade shows, was that Auxin was a small company. No way could they be filing this complaint at their size. Others had to be behind it. So, you know, I don't know whether that's true or not, but it seems now here we have a major global player that's filing a trade complaint of its own. And I'm going to be really interested in seeing how this plays out for the rest of the industry. There's no getting around the fact that China is playing the patient long game of owning the clean energy future. And I think it falls to the U.S. to decide what we want our role to be. John, what do you think?
Yeah, just an added note there too. Auxin was accused as being a front for First Solar and that First Solar didn't want to attach their name to it. Well, now they are. And they've retained Tim Brightbill of Wiley Rain. He's been involved in these trade cases for the last, you know, 10, 15 years. So I think this is a scary one. Auxin was scary because it kept moving forward. This has big players on it. I think Hanwha Qcells is attached as well. And keep in mind, in 2 months, exactly 2 months from now, Biden's solar tariff moratorium expires. And he has already said he's not going to extend it. So this will be another shock to the system. All right, fourth story is from Wall Street Journal. Energy guzzling AI is also the future of energy savings. Mike.
I think if any story is going to become bigger than the trading relationship between China and the rest of the clean tech world, it's going to be AI's impact on load centers. I just think it's such a big deal. So let's some context here. We waste a ton of energy. Buildings chew up good 30% of the global energy budget. A lot of it's wasted. Here in the U.S., we waste a third of the energy that is used for commercial buildings. Just think about that for a second. We waste a third of the energy we deploy for buildings. So the problem is it's tricky to fix energy waste, particularly in buildings, because of the variety of the building stock, its ages, its functions, where it is, the temperatures that surround it, and also the ownership structures. Like, no one really owns the utility bill for a lot of buildings. And that's been the problem. So here AI comes with a tremendous load demand that it's going to grow. And I think it's going to be interesting what the real effects are, John.
Yeah, the load growth story is a really interesting one, because you saw that Sam Altman from OpenAI say at Davos that without a breakthrough in energy, we're not going to be able to meet our potential with AI or serve power to these large data centers. Now you also have this utility group saying maybe that hype is overblown and we'll be able to meet the need as we have over the years and so on and so forth. So I am really interested to see where this all lands. Mike, our last story and our guest.
Alexis St. John and Lindley Sanders from AP have a story called Climate Change Concerns Grow, But Few Think Biden's Climate Law Will Help. An AP NORC poll finds. We've got Alexa on. Alexa St. John, welcome to the show.
All right.
So if our listeners and viewers haven't read your piece yet, What's the big takeaway they should hear from you now?
I think the gist is really that a number of Americans are growing far more concerned about climate change, especially over the past year. We saw another year as far as record heats, of disasters, of all sorts of impacts stemming from climate change. And people are concerned, but Biden's signature law to address this, the Inflation Reduction Act, isn't yet really meeting folks where they're at.
We've talked about that theme a couple of times on this show. Will the IRA resonate? Will it be enough to propel Biden into a second term? And I think a lot of the numbers you call out are troubling for that. And, you know, President Biden has said he will run on a national climate clean energy agenda. Can you pull out some of those numbers and what might be most concerning to that camp?
I think one of the ones that stands out the most is only about a quarter of folks feel that any of the stipulations in the Inflation Reduction Act have impacted them at all. So this could include things like solar panel incentives, electric vehicle tax credits, incentives for energy efficient appliances at your house, a variety of different things. Very few Americans have felt the impact of all of those benefits in this law. And overwhelmingly, it's Democrats that have felt the benefits of this. So I think that's one sign that there's still a lot of communication, education to be done around the IRA, what it can do for consumers. But even then, only about a third of folks broadly think that the IRA will have an impact on folks like them moving forward. So certainly a lot.
Alexa, what do the Biden people say about this? Do they have an answer for the question, what's your plan to sell a piece of legislation? Having been in government myself, I can tell you that selling legislation is one of the more difficult sales jobs there is if you got to do it in a hurry. But I'm interested in what they've told you.
I think broadly their response is they're working on it, right? And I think these things take time. I mean, this did pass about 2 years ago. It doesn't happen overnight that this money gets rolled out, that it lands in, you know, consumers' hands, that we see, you know, every house on a block have a solar project or drive an electric vehicle very quickly. These things do take time. And so I think, you know, the administration is really emphasizing that, you know, passing it in and of itself was, you know, huge. To your point earlier, will continue to be huge throughout the reelection campaign. But that consumers, I think, probably need to have realistic expectations as far as how quickly things like this can get
something
rolled
out. I'm curious about too, Alexa, here, and you used the verbiage of felt the benefits. I wonder if it's they haven't felt it or they haven't noticed. And it's so difficult to, you know, for a layman to look at their life and all the things they interact with and go, yep, that was the IRA. That's the reason that I just, you know, paid less for groceries or whatever. Whereas a broad tax cut is pretty easy to communicate. When you went on TurboTax at the beginning of the year, did you get more money back? Did you have to pay the federal government? It's just so much more nuanced. And I wonder if that's part of the overall strategy discussion that goes into, should we run on this as like our main thing, if it's so hard to tell that story? Did this poll address really even, you know, the level of knowledge that individual voters have about the IRA? Like, do they know what it is?
We did ask, and we looked at a couple of different things. One, how those different types of, you know, again, incentives and subsidies in the law impact folks like those responding to the poll, and also how each of those individual things would impact ways to address climate change, for instance. And, you know, to your point, I think a lot of folks just don't immediately associate some of these benefits with what they might be seeing on the ground, and don't necessarily, you know, have the jargon of Inflation Reduction Act in their mind when they see their neighbor driving a brand new electric vehicle or something like that. So there are a few things at play as far as, you know, the jargon goes. You know, there's this big neighbor effect. If I don't see it in my neighborhood, it must not be happening at all. If you can't pinpoint exactly where these certain programs and ideas are coming from, then they just must not be happening much. One of the things, though, I thought was interesting is About 4 in 10 folks had a lot or some faith in Biden as far as addressing climate change, Biden or Democrats in Congress. That drops down to about 3 in 10 for Trump and Republicans in Congress. So folks do seem to believe a little bit more, at least, that Biden is working to address climate change. But they don't necessarily, again, associate that with the Inflation Reduction
Act. John, we're just about out of time. We need to go to our clean techer of the week.
This week's clean techer of the week is Antoine Wagskal, sales director of Southeast Asia at Nextracker, who recently hosted Malaysia's top EPC solar contractors and developers at one of their partners' manufacturing facilities during a training academy event at PowerWorks. So congratulations to Antoine.
Yeah, and John, I want to say to our viewers and listeners, if you're interested in being on a small panel to select our Clean Techer of the Year starting around October, November, direct message me. We're putting that panel together because we're having a lot of fun recognizing really great work, acts big and small that happen in the space every day. I want to thank our wonderful producer, Brian Mendez, and Claire Quirin and Alex Peterson for gathering these stories. John, I want to note that we have Claire Quirin here in the worldwide headquarters of This Week in Clean Tech. I'm going to do a quick camera rotation, embarrass her, put her hair, give a wave. All right.
Look at that setup you've got. Really nice.
It's a multi, John, it's a multi-million dollar studio.
Yeah, bankrolled by me. And thanks to Alexa St. John for joining us on this episode of This Week in Clean Tech. Please subscribe, give us feedback, send in those recommendations, and you can read all of the articles we discussed this week by clicking the links in the episode description. All right, Mike, we'll see you next time. Alexa, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, friend. See you, Alexa.
Hey, it's John Engel, and I'm excited to share that registration is now live for Grid Tech Connect Forum California. Join us in Newport Beach, June 24th through the 26th for the Interconnection event. We're bringing together utilities, developers, regulators, and advocates to take on one of the biggest challenges facing the energy transition, both at the DG and utility scale levels. Click the link in the episode description and use promo code PODCAST to save 10% on admission. Join our partners from the Department of Energy, NREL, Southern California Edison, PG&E, CAISO, Sunrun, NG, Convergent, AES, and so many more for this impactful event. We'll see you there.